Hello and welcome to What If It Is True. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. And of course, this is the podcast where we explore the big questions. At least we try to ask big questions and we try to get big answers. That's the idea. What if it is true? Today, an interesting departure, I think, from what you've normally heard here on the podcast when we kind of explore, we do a lot of theology, though, body exploration. We talk about things of that nature, various conversations with Father Thomas Loya frequently. But today, Dwayne Smithers. Dwayne is a rapper. He's a poet, spoken word artist. He's a black guy who is out there trying to do what he does as best as he possibly can with what I would say is a deck stacked against him. I'm going to say that because I think that race issues in this country are at a point now where there is, I remember vividly the Rodney King riot. I remember a lot of these things that we have kind of maybe forgotten about. And to me, for me, right now, in my experience, this is the worst it's been. I think it's just the worst it's been. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I have lost my sense of perception. I don't know. Maybe. But I think it's pretty bad. But I want to talk with Dwayne. I want to get his perspective. So let's welcome him on in to the podcast. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. Lots of stuff going on. And I have to think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I've got really no perspective personally on this. But I would have to say the past few months as a black motivational speaker who goes into the high schools doing what you do, speaking with youth, it's got to be an interesting time in this administration to be seeing what we've been seeing and seeing the reaction to that. How has this been compared to, because you started this, I'm guessing, under the Obama administration with a black president. Now it seems like things are worse than they've been in a long time for race relations. I don't know. Just what's your perspective?
Well, I've been a youth motivational speaker since about 2010, but I've been doing youth ministry since about 2003. So I've had all the presidents from Bush, to Clinton, to Bush again, and to Obama, and now Trump. And to me, it's like, I don't think it has anything to do with our president, but it's where our country is going in the direction that it is. And I would have thought, with Dr. Martin Luther King and everything else that has happened to our country, that we would have been way beyond this by now. So I'm really shocked that our country is responding the way that it is to what's going on, especially with the injustice that we as African Americans are facing. And so I think the reason why Colin Kaepernick did what he did, he wasn't doing it, to be disrespectful, but he was doing it because of our Constitution, because the Constitution says that liberty and justice for all. And so how is it justice that a cop or cops can kill black people and get away with it? So there was his whole intention was to bring that awareness to the mass audience.
Right.
And so now I think it's turned into something that it wasn't supposed to be in the first place.
So what do you think? I mean, I know you said you've kind of watched this progression or you've been through a lot of different administrations, but it certainly seems like whether it's the fault of any particular president, it certainly seems like now, like no other time ever. And I guess you could say you could go back to Ferguson. You could go back to these other situations that have occurred throughout the challenges that we've seen. But it seems like now we're kind of at a fever pitch. And you kind of got a pulse. You've got to have a pulse being in the schools. I mean, I think that there would be an interesting dynamic happening there. What are you hearing? What are you seeing from the kids in the public schools?
Actually, when I go into the school system, like politics is something that I really don't talk about.
Really?
Because really I'm there just to encourage the kids to live the best life they can.
Sure.
Despite all the stuff that they go through as kids or even as young adults. And so I try not to bring politics into like my ministry.
Right.
Because in the past, politics and ministry really don't mix. And that's why you have some pastors or some priests, they don't really talk about politics from the pulpit.
Right. So,
and so with me, I kind of stand clear of any kind of political or any kind of racial things in high schools and middle schools, because I think racism is, you know, it's taught. Like, it's really taught. It's like a kid is not born racist.
Right.
And so if I can go into these high schools and middle schools and, like, prove to my white counterparts that all black people are not the same, all black people are not thugs or pimps or whatever, or things like that, then maybe I can bridge that gap. I mean, the gap between younger generation.
Mm-hmm. And so you think the best way, the way you deal with it, the best way you deal with it is kind of rise above. If that's what you're looking at, you're saying, you know, we're all human beings. We all have the opportunity to fail or succeed based on our decisions and our actions. And that's kind of the direction you're going.
Yes, sir. Because, you know, we are.
I'm sorry, Duane, are you there?
Same earth. And yeah. And so if you look at any other race, like Mexicans or people like that, they are not at war with each other. And so right now our country is so divided over small stuff. And you're right, I think it got worse when Trump got in office, because now the true colors are really starting to show.
Mm.
And so never in my life have I ever heard of a president get up and refer to any sports figure as like an SOB.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's new. That one's new, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're in uncharted territory with that. Yeah.
Right. So like even with Obama, so a lot of my black friends were mad because I wasn't a supporter of Obama and I didn't vote for him.
Mm.
But even with Obama, he had respect for our sports figures and also for our country.
Sure.
But this president right here, he just says whatever's on his mind like a 3-year-old.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. Duane, let me ask you this, because I hear a lot of people talk about this. Whenever you talk about race relations, you talk about personal responsibility, you talk about what's happening within communities, the one thing that always gets thrown back is, well, what about black-on-black violence? You hear that all the time. What about black kids killing black kids in Chicago? That's the place everybody wants to go to. What kind of response do you have to something, that question of that nature?
Okay, so the response that I have to that, yes, is black-on-black violence. But what the media doesn't show you is that there is also white-on-white violence.
Hmm.
And so the media, they just blows up the black crimes, and they don't do it to the white race at all. So I think it's like the media that's blowing all of this out of proportion. Yes, you know, Chicago is horrible when it comes to the violence, but also, like, there are white people fighting white people just as much as white people fighting white people. But the media will never show you that.
Mm. So you think it's a degree of sensationalism based on the fact that they just want to play this up, as opposed to, again, look statistically. And I guess the question I would ask on the flip side of that is, what kind of, how would you respond to someone who says, well, you know, black males are not targeted any more than white people? Statistically speaking, white people are killed by cops more than young black men. How would you respond to that?
I would say to that is that the white race outnumbers any other race, like in America. But even out of that percentage, more black men are being killed than white men are, or white women are. And I do think in this country there is such thing as white privilege.
Yeah.
You know, black. You know, we are the minorities, and we get overlooked. And to me, it's like a modern day slavery.
Yeah. Well,
and because of that, black people are taught to fight each other because everybody's trying to make it. So instead of everybody trying to come together, you know, we're fighting each other over dumb stuff,
mm-hmm.
over a pair of Jordans, over a car, over a watch. You know, we're robbing each other.
fighting on arrival, fighting for survival, I think is what Bob Marley said in Buffalo Soldiers, right? And I think that we kind of see that continuing. And unfortunately, I think few of us, and as I said, you know, starting out this discussion, I don't have the perception that you have. I do not have the position that you have to see things that you see and to know that there is undoubted a systematic degree of racism that takes place in this country. I can go in, right. I can go into a convenience store and not be a suspect immediately, right?
Right.
You know, I can go in and not be assumed that, oh, this guy may either A, shoplift or worse, rob me before he gets out of here. And I know, I know, Dwayne, I know that that's something that happens to you. I know that, I know that I can drive through certain neighborhoods without any thought that, you know, I might get pulled over and profiled because, I'm going to drive right on through this neighborhood and no one's going to question me. You behind the same wheel of my car could potentially face profiling and a traffic stop because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right. I know these things.
Sir.
I know these things, Dwayne. So, you know, I know that I'm privileged. I know that there's just two examples that say I can do things without being an immediate suspect before anything even happens. I know that. And I think and I know you know this, Dwayne. I know that you know that most white people don't understand that. Just don't understand that.
No. Like an example would be, I mean, this has happened to me so many times, whether I'm in Kentucky or whether I'm in Dallas, Texas, is that I can go to a gas station or to a grocery store and walk through the parking lot. And all of a sudden, everybody's hitting the buttons on the cars, man, for their alarms. It happens to me all the time, Leo. I kid you not.
I bet.
I mean, I remember it was one time to where I was at this gas station in Nicholasville. And so I pull up to the pump, and it's all white people out here, right? And there was this lady and her friend that was parked in front of the gas station. And so they didn't see me pull up. And so I go in the store, and I pay for my gas, and I come back out, and they look at me, and they hit the alarms on their car.
Mm. Yeah.
And this happens to me. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, not surprising. Yeah, and most white people have not had that experience. They've not had a reaction, a response immediately, nor would they be the only one of their particular race in an environment, generally. They wouldn't find themselves being the only white person at the gas station.
Right. I mean, Leo, this woman was standing right beside her car, and the minute I walked out, she hit the button on her car.
Yeah. No, it's not surprising.
I just laugh about it now for real because it's sad.
Yeah.
And let me say this right here. If you call yourself a Christian, Catholic, you know, your belief in Jesus, and you are a racist, you are not a Christian. You are not a child of God.
No.
You're not, because there's no way in the world that you can be in love with Jesus but hate me, you know, because of my skin color.
No.
Because John says it like this in the first John. He says, how can I say that I love God, whom I haven't seen, but hate my brother who I have seen?
Yeah, and
so
I would,
if you are a believer in Christ and you're a racist, like, no, like, that's an oxymoron.
And not to mention, Jesus' skin would be a lot closer to your color than mine. Right?
Right.
I mean, Middle Eastern guys are generally way more brown than they are white. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. It reminds me, as we're talking, a mutual friend, Father Norman Fisher, and I were on the phone one time, and he was like, "Oop!" I'm like, "What's going on?" He's like, "I'm getting pulled over." And I'm like, "Oh no, be safe, right?"
Right.
And like, 20 minutes later, he called me back. I'm like, "Was everything cool?" He's like, "Yeah, you know, I did everything right." You know, I said to him, That's crazy. It's crazy, right? It's crazy that you, Dwayne, you have to do everything right. You have to do everything right in a traffic stop. You've got to be careful. You've got to make sure that your hands are always seen. There are these precautions that you've got to take that, again, and people laugh at the concept of white privilege as though it doesn't exist. I can get pulled over and I can reach for my wallet and not fear that I'm going to be shot as I'm reaching in my hip pocket to pull out my license. You know, I mean, it's crazy that we would assume that this does not exist. There is systematic racism that we don't even see. And that's what's so unfortunate.
It is so sad. I mean, I thought as a country that we would be far beyond this right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've come so far as a country. Come on now, we have a black president. You know, that took a long time for that to happen. So I would have thought that after having Obama in office that our country would have been past this already, you know, but we're not.
Yeah.
And instead, and I think Trump being in office, you know, everybody's pulling the covers off now.
Mm.
You know, the true colors are now coming out because he's in office.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen that. We've seen there are those who have made outlandish remarks about, well, Trump's our president now and you need to go back to Mexico, or Trump's our president now and you need to whatever, right? I mean, that we've seen those kind of things happen. The one hope that I have really in all of this is that there is something about the environment that you're in so frequently in that school environment, because here is a huge equalizer when it comes to opportunity of community, right? Because you've got blacks, whites, Hispanics, you name it, all in the same environment. There has to be some way of capitalizing, for lack of a better word, on that environment, right?
Yes, sir. And so I kind of the honor and a privilege that I get invited to like schools, especially mainly white schools. And so that shows me that the school system is going in the right direction, because they are inviting the black man in to talk to their kids.
Right.
And so I think kids are innocent. It's just the adults.
Sure.
You know, like the racism and people like that. And I know here recently, it's like, especially in Dallas, Texas, not Dallas, but Houston, Texas, when they had a big hurricane.
Yes.
Irma.
Yep.
Everybody came together. They weren't talking, you know, the race stuff down there.
Right.
During the hurricane. They all came together because they needed each other. But what if we had the same mentality every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yeah. We could. Yeah.
No matter your skin color, you are my brother, you are my sister, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to have your back.
Yeah. We could do that, but we choose not to for some crazy reason. One of my favorite images of the hurricane out of Houston was a young black man on a water bike, right? Like on a jet ski sort of water bike, with an older white woman on the back that he was helping out of her flooded house. I just love that image. I mean, it's just such a beautiful expression of what you're talking about, that, you know, there are times that we can come together and, you know, who knows? I mean, they may have known each other, they may have been friends, but just statistically speaking, this is probably a dynamic that normally would not happen, right? I mean, we got to be honest, we don't see that type of stuff frequently. But to see that image coming from this experience is beautiful. We just, we need to see more of that some way, somehow.
Yeah. And also, I know the cops get a bad rep as well. So let me say this, not all cops are bad.
Right.
Because I've talked to some cops who are amazing people, amazing individuals, white cops at that.
Right.
And so I think with every race, you have, you know, the bad apples. But we shouldn't allow those bad apples to treat the other person bad or wrong or, you know, about my skin color. Because if you were to sit down with me and like just really talk to me for about 5 or 10 minutes, then you would love me.
Of course.
Yeah, and like if a person wants to do the same with you, they will love you.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I think they got a better chance of loving you than loving me, Dwayne.
Ah, nah. Because you look like a Star Trek, Captain Kirk.
So I got to ask you this before I let you go. The Black Lives Matter, when you hear somebody say all lives matter, what do you think about that?
I think each one has its place, But I think just right now, the black race is a race that's really suffering right now. So it's not that we're taking the attention off of every race, but right now our black race needs to be lifted up because of what we've been through, especially with the slavery. Mm. And so even now, I know so many black people that still have that slavery mentality. And because we're treated as minorities, we have a hard time loving each other and ourselves. Mm. And sometimes we as black people think that we are not good enough, you know, for the society. And I've actually heard some white people say that if Trump is elected, I'm moving back to Africa, or I'm going back to Africa. And so I think when people say Black Lives Matter, let's pause real quick and allow every race to come together and help the black race right now. Because we're all equal. So it's not we're taking away from like the white race or from the Mexican race, but right now the black race is really suffering right now.
Yeah, and has been.
And because we are suffering, yeah. So that's why you have the black-on-black crime. Because we're angry right now. Mm-hmm. Because we ain't getting no justice.
Right. Well, the one thing I think that we forget, and I hear this all the time, well, they just need to get over that. They just need to get over that. That was a long time ago. And, you know, it's easy. Again, it's another example of white privilege. It's easy for us to say that or to think that, but we were not property, right? We were not considered less than human. We were not considered essentially a tool of someone else's industry that could be bought and sold like property. We do not have that history. We do not have that dynamic. And to me, I think that would be a huge step forward. And granted, I'm dreaming here, but if we could all understand sensitivity to this issue, a little bit of sensitivity, I think would go a hugely long way. If we all just simply said, you know what, we don't have that. It's kind of like I say, I started this conversation with a very clear admission. I do not have the perception that you have. I do not have the experience that you have. I try as best I can to be sympathetic to it, but I simply don't understand it fully. I'm going to try, though. I'm going to try. I'm at least going to try to walk in your shoes and think about what that would be like. And most of us don't do that.
Yes, because even as a black Christian, it's still hard. An example would be, so back when I was 22 years old, I got busted with selling drugs, and I was facing 10 years in the penitentiary. Mm. And so I went out and I hired me a lawyer, and he got me out with 2 years of probation with 45 days in jail.
Wow.
So shortly after that, about 2 years ago, I mean, so 2 years after that is when I became a Christian. I became a born-again Christian. I went back and I got my GED, and I went on to graduate from Eastern Kentucky University with a bachelor's in broadcasting. And so even with a college degree and even with me being a Christian, it's still hard for me to find a job with that drug charge on my record. Mm. And so that's why I had to go out and start my own business and become a youth motivational speaker, is because I couldn't find a job because I'm a black man with a record.
Mm. Well, necessity is the mother of invention, as they say, right? So obviously you're meant to do this, and to tell that story and to be able to talk about that hopefully will prevent some kids from doing something stupid that would end up with a record, right? I mean, I would hope.
Correct.
I would hope that your story... Yeah. Gives them cause for pause and to say, wait a minute, that could be me. Not that they don't look at you and go, well, he's doing all right because he's a motivational speaker. But still, to share that story in a way that says, that's precautionary, that says, wait a minute, really think about the stuff that you could be getting into, because that will not go away. And I've got a similar situation myself. But again, I think white privilege, right? I'm gonna claim that again, because granted, my arrest record has nothing to do with trafficking, but I didn't spend 45 days in jail, but I've spent a few overnights in jail, and I've been arrested a few times, and I had a messed up life as a young 20-something-year-old kid with all kinds of substances and all kinds of issues, and you know, granted, I can still go out there and people don't look at my arrest record and go, well, what happened back here in the 90s, right? I mean, that's something that generally does not happen to me. So yeah. it's And you and I in very similar situations. I finished high school, but went on to EKU and got my degree in broadcasting, right? So, you know,
oh, wow.
I mean,
I didn't know that.
We get a lot in common in that world. But again, I have to say systematic racism would probably cause someone to look at your record and background checks with scrutiny that I don't have to worry about. And that's a shame. It's a shame that you've got to deal with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I keep on trusting God and he continues to open doors. And at the end of the day, like, God doesn't see our skin color. He
right.
sees our heart.
Exactly. And good for us, right?
Well,
good for all of us.
Yeah, good for us.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
In most cases. Sometimes my heart is not where it should be, as the case is far too often with many of us. But, but Dwayne, I really value you talking about this and talking openly about it and having this kind of conversation. I know it's not something, as you said before, you would generally approach in a classroom, or you're not going to normally talk this politically focused when it comes to things like race relations and administrations. But I appreciate you opening up about that. And we'll definitely get a link in the show notes here in the podcast to how everyone can get in touch with you. And if they've got an event, you've got, recordings for sale. Can you download those, or are they on disc, or how do you get your recordings these days?
I do have a few things on my website that you can download, but I do have a new CD coming out. I have a book that I wrote. I have a new CD that I'm working on, and it should all be on my website within the next 30 days.
Okay.
So my website is www.dspoet.com.
DSPoet.com. Again, we'll get a link in there on the show notes to that website to make sure that we can connect there. But Dwayne, it's always a pleasure, man. I love talking to you, and love what you're doing out there, being a positive influence and taking your challenges in life and turning them around and trying to make it good for others. And sounds like you got to run, but I appreciate the time you've given me.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Dwayne, thank you. And thank you for listening. As always, What If It Is True, the podcast here exclusively with Breadbox Media. If you like what you hear, click on the support link, support this podcast, support this network. Check out breadboxmedia.com for all of the offerings that we have. Great podcasts, lots of terrific stuff. And premium membership means you get discounts from national advertisers. Also, check out my page, the What If It Is True page, because I've got a lot of hometown heroes, we call them, who are local advertisers who support what we're doing. So always check out all of that as well. And as always, thank you so much for listening. God bless.